Hello and welcome to Towel Capes, the podcast that covers film, television, comics, and games. I'm your host, Cody Nestor. Alongside me is my co-host, Todd Heal.
What's up, guys?
Today we welcome another literal member of the family and now member of the Towel Capes family, Miss LaVonda Goad.
Hello.
Welcome, Vondi.
It's good to be here.
I'm glad to have you here, Vonda. You went and saw Wonka with us. We can't wait to hear what you thought about the film. If you guys, the video version of today's episode is available on YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please consider following us your podcast platform of choice and subscribing to our YouTube channel. So, guys, let's talk about Wonka. Armed with nothing but a hat full of dreams, young chocolatier Willy Wonka manages to change the world one delectable bite at a time. Wonka was released on December 15, 2023. On a budget of $125 million, it's expected to open between $30 to $40 million at time of recording. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 82% and an audience score of 88%. Let's talk non-spoilers first. Todd, what did you think of Wonka?
Honestly, I was kind of surprised and pleasantly. I wasn't going into this with a lot of expectations. I was like, oh, you know, another prequel we don't need. Mm-hmm. And, I was kind of pleasantly surprised by this one, honestly.
Okay. So it would get a recommendation from you. Would you say people go out, pay their hard-earned money to see Wonka?
Movie tickets cost an awful lot nowadays. So if you want to wait for streaming or digital rental, I totally understand.
Okay.
If you enjoyed the 1971 original, I think you'll find a lot here that you'll like.
Gotcha. Vonda, what about you? Non-spoilers, what did you think of Wonka?
Well, I love the very first Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder. Oh, I love that movie. But me, myself, of course, you know, I'm not a musical person as far as musical movies. So I wasn't really impressed with all that. But there was some good funny parts in it. And there's some things I really enjoyed. But no, I wouldn't spend my hard-earned money on it again.
You wouldn't recommend people go out and watch it?
No. For my part, no.
Gotcha.
No.
I think for me, I kind of a blend between both of your takes. I think it was a pleasant surprise. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know much about it. I didn't research it. Right. First time I ever watched the 1971 original was a couple weeks ago for our Popcorn Mumbles on that. Same with the 2005's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I like the original. I did not like the 2005 version, the Tim Burton version. So I kind of had a little bit of bad taste in my mouth with the Wonkaverse coming into this. But I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know it was going to be out and out so much of a musical. Like, I knew there would be certain musical elements. It's definitely more of a musical than the first one.
Yeah, definitely.
And the second one, you know, the Burton one, that's just terrible. There's not a memorable song in this. There's memorable songs here. Yeah. But for me, I think, you know, if you're a family, you got kids, you got small kids, I think they'll enjoy it. You know, if you've got in that age group that maybe, you know, 3 to 7, something like that, you know, the younger children. Like, I think if you're looking for a film to go watch this weekend or the next weekend or so, and you're not going to take them to like an Aquaman or something, I think, you know, it's worth it. You know, I wouldn't say that you'd be wasting your money by going to see Wonka. But I think for the majority of people, you know, the 18 to 34 demographic, you know, like, probably just wait and catch it on streaming. But I do think it's a movie that if you watch, I don't think you're going to say that you wasted your time watching it or you wasted your money seeing it.
Right.
Before we discuss the film in detail, let's play another round of how many stars, Todd.
Oh, yeah.
So I have 6 audience review here for you guys for Wonka. I'll read you a review and you tell me from 1 to 5 how many stars you think the person gave the film. So, Todd, you're up first. Pat says, after seeing the original, this was not what I expected, but was good with a bit of a different take, but still kept the theme. Overall, it was good. How many stars?
I'll say 3.
4 stars, actually. LaVonda, your turn. Justin says, too much of a musical. How many stars?
1.
2 stars, Justin gave 2 stars. Todd, Patricia C. says, perfect. We really enjoyed and loved it. Great storyline, wonderful songs, a must-see. How many stars?
That's
a 5-star. Vonda Zilla says, fun holiday movie with some nostalgic moments. Reminded me of the original much more than the weird Tim Burton version, even though I'm a fan of his movies. How many stars?
4.
4 stars.
Hey.
Good job. Todd M.H. says, so boring. I fell asleep at one point. I didn't care about any of the characters. I wasn't invested in a single one. How many stars?
It's got to be a one.
It's a two-starer again.
What?
2 stars. All right, our last one here, Vonda. Valerie says, very, very magical, beautiful songs, and had me a little teary-eyed at the end. Very nice for the kids.
4.
5 stars. All right, you guys both went 1 for 3. Not too bad. Good job, guys. So let's talk about Wonka in depth here. Spoilers are ahead. So Todd, I'm gonna ask you, where do you want to start off here with Wonka?
Let's start with the young actor that plays Willy Wonka. Let me see, make sure I'm getting his name right.
Timothy Chalamet.
I thought this
you didn't get it right.
I butchered it anyway.
You didn't get it right.
Timothy Chalamet.
No, Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet.
I'm sorry, Timothy.
Cameo.
You know, we see him right off the bat. He's on the boat. He's heading over to the galleries. Got a song in his mouth. Got some little bit of money in his pocket, and he's raring to go.
He's got, twelve silver sovereigns in his pocket.
12 silver sovereigns.
And a hat full of dreams.
Till he hits town, anyway, and them sovereigns start dropping like flies.
Yeah, he buys a map and places to eat. He drops a pumpkin that costs him 3 sovereigns. He gives a couple sovereigns to the kid that keeps shining his shoes.
Right.
He eventually gets down to no silver sovereigns, right?
He gets down to his last one, and he's flipping it, and he loses it down a drain.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Then he gets down to no sovereigns, and that's where we're kind of introduced to our next kind of character, which is Bleacher. Kind of a gruff looking, big tall dude. he kind of says, "Hey, you need a place to stay for the night? Like, I know a place." And he takes him over to Mrs. Scrubbits. She runs like a laundromat, I guess it would be, like a laundry of some type. And then it kind of builds. I guess in the basement of her house or something
like that.
You know, long story short there, basically they trick him into signing a contract that just pretty much puts him into indentured servitude to pay off. He's supposed to stay there for the night for 1 silver sovereign, but the fine print on the contract, which our secondary main character, which is a little girl named Noodle. She tries to warn him about reading the fine print.
Yeah.
He doesn't, which we learn later he actually can't read at all.
Who knew, right?
Who knew? And he signs the contract, and then once he goes to leave, it wasn't really once. It was 1 silver sovereign to stay, but he incurred a lot of penalties, I guess.
It's like 10,000
sovereigns. 10,000 sovereigns worth for using the soap, for walking up the steps,
for
up and down.
Drinking a drink she offered him.
Yeah, for drinking some gin she gave him.
Yeah,
just a lot of little penalties that he incurred right off the bat, basically. And that kind of sets the stage for most of the movie. Obviously, Wonka, his goal, this is a younger version of Wonka, a brunette version of Wonka, by the way. At some point, he becomes a blonde. I don't know. But he's there. He's in the city. He wants to go to the galleries, which is this kind of big mecca of, like, businesses, but mostly of, like, the 3 kind of other chocolatiers, or the most well-known chocolatiers around. What did you think of, like, the setting of the film, like, the way, you know, everything looked and where it was kind of filmed and, like, basically the overall kind of vibe of everything?
I thought it looked pretty neat. I thought it looked pretty close to, like, the original 1971, sort of like that, those vibes it gives off.
Right. It's like...
I thought it had a nice set design.
Yeah. Is it like... I think in the, you know, something that people talk about in the original is that it's like, you can't really, you know, you kind of get more of a, that it's filmed, like, in Europe. It's got a European vibe to it, but it can kind of be a little bit of anywhere.
Yeah.
In a way, do you feel like this film kind of still sticks with that?
Yeah, you can't really, like, narrow it down to, like, an exact, you know, this is this city.
It's like, oh, definitely this is.
This is definitely this
Wonka's
city.
Wonka's in Paris, you
know? You just can't. It's kind of got that uniqueness about it. You can't really nail it down to one specific spot.
Right. Vonda, what about you? How did you feel about, like, the look of the movie overall and, like, kind of the sets and the setting of it? How did you feel about it?
I actually liked it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I think it had, like, a very kind of distinct look about it. It was kind of its own. It was kind of a more realistic look than, like, the Burton movies went for.
Right.
It was more, and it was definitely helped out with a little bit of, you know, like, effects and things like that, but it was definitely more closely resembling the original than, like, again, the Burton version.
Gotcha.
But, like, basically right off the boat, that we kind of set up, like, it is a musical, or at least half musical. You know, there's a lot of songs in it.
A lot of songs.
Yeah, we'll get into. I want to go through those a little bit. But we talked about, we're kind of introduced to Mrs. Scrubbit and Bleacher. Vonda, what did you think about Mrs. Scrubbit and Bleacher and their relationship, which they end up kind of developing through another kind of plot point through the film?
Yeah, well, I didn't care too much for Mrs. Scrubbit.
Yeah. But Bad teeth.
Yeah, and just general bad person altogether. Anybody's going to sign somebody up for 30 years of working with them.
Right, exactly.
But now the dude, what's his name?
Bleacher.
I love Bleacher.
Yes. Go ahead.
And they love Mr. Scrubbit.
Yeah, they have a relationship that kind of, it's a little bit like adversarial. There's a little bit later, the plot is kind of set up for, Wonka's obviously kind of, in servitude, basically, in the basement, which we'll get into. But there's a little plot later to kind of use to get him out. And they kind of make Bleacher, they kind of set up a backstory, Wonka and Noodle, to have him kind of be like some type of aristocrat.
Right.
Because Mrs. Scrubbit once had an aristocrat stay there, and she was just kind of falling all over herself for
right,
him.
Yeah.
So they kind of turned Bleacher into built him up as an aristocrat, which he is definitely not.
He's nowhere near an aristocrat.
Not even close.
So Wonka and Noodle are not the only people that have been tricked by Mrs. Scrubbit. Who else do we have working in the laundry down below, Todd?
We have Abacus Crunch, Lottie Bell, Piper Benz, and personal favorite, I believe, old Larry Chucklesworth.
Yeah, more to come on Comedian Larry later. Yeah, but yeah, basically they are all people that stayed there at one point. The most narrative kind of backstory is Abacus. We find out later, basically in the film, the chocolate world, or the world of chocolate in the film, is controlled by what they call the chocolate cartel.
Right.
Which is Slugsworth. Who's our other two, Todd?
Prodnose and Finkelgruber.
Finkelgruber. And they are what they call the chocolate cartel, and they control the chocolate in the galleries and around. We find out a little bit through the story that they're kind of producing the least amount of chocolate, and they're just sitting on a stockpile of
hoarding
chocolate, basically. And that's kind of almost, besides the sovereigns and stuff, they use chocolate as kind of a currency. Like, they use it to garner favor and bribe officials and things like that throughout the film.
Right.
What did the if we're looking at the rest of the characters, is there anybody else? Most of the other characters, so again, we set up Larry the comedian. It comes in that Lottie used to be a telephone operator, which kind of comes back a little bit. Again, Noodle has a little bit of a backstory here. Wonka kind of talks with her and notices she has a necklace that has a ring on it that has a N for Noodle, or an N, and that Mrs. Scrubbit is the one that kind of give her the name Noodle.
Yeah.
But he's kind of seen something that's a little, why does this girl have a very kind of ornate ring wrapped around her neck, kind of basically. Yeah. Where do you want to go next, Ty? What do you want to talk about from here?
So I'd like to talk about the old police chief and him being in cahoots with the evil chocolate trinity, as I call it.
Yeah, so Wonka gets into town, and he's setting up his little, briefcase, and he's selling his wares. He's got some hover chocks, which are these, basically they're chocolate. They're derived from all this kind of crazy magical Willy Wonka type stuff. And it basically makes you, once you've consumed it, you do start to kind of levitate and fly a little bit.
Right.
Kind of maybe a precursor to the fizzy lifting drink, maybe from the original, something like that. But we also set up the police are kind of the foils there. So as soon as Wonka starts peddling his chocolate, makes a few sovereigns, the police come and
take them all.
Yeah. So tell us about the police chief a little bit there, Todd.
So the police chief has a major sweet tooth.
Yes.
And that's how he is bribed by the evil chocolate trinity, or the cartel, as I call them.
Exactly. They have basically, like I said, they were using chocolate to kind of bribe officials and judges, and they've got the police chief on their side. That's one of the best running gags in the film, is the police chief gaining this inordinate amount of weight.
If you watch the movie, keep your eyes on the police chief.
Yeah, you can't miss him. At one point, he talked with him, and he looks like his normal kind of weight that he starts off. The next time you see him, he's like, man, I've gained 150 pounds in 2 weeks. and then by the end of the film, he can't even get out of the car. It's one of the best gags from the film. Wonka kind of noodle. We kind of see their relationship kind of develop. We understand where Willy Wonka's passion for chocolate comes from. So it was him, just him and his mother when they were growing up. No father in the picture. I don't remember if they explained what happened to his father.
Touch on his father, I believe.
But apparently Willy and his mother kind of lived on a riverboat. They just lived on a riverboat, just going down river at all times. And I think he said his mom would kind of save cocoa beans or that they would find.
So they got enough to make a chocolate bar.
Yeah. So they got enough to make one chocolate bar. And to Willy, it was the best chocolate on the planet. And she had made, she makes, like, I guess the original prototype of the Willy Wonka chocolate bar,
yeah,
which he still has to him to this day. And so his goal, the thing he's driven by is to get a shop, to earn money, and to, like, bring chocolate to the world. And then hoping by doing that, because his mother passed away from illness, he says, before she could tell him the secret to her chocolate. And so he's hoping that if he does this and brings chocolate to the world, that it'll make them closer, and she'll somehow, you know, he thinks literally kind of reveal the secret to him about what makes chocolate so good,
right?
His chocolate so good. Let's go and talk about the songs here. I've got the list of them here. I want you guys to go through and, because there's quite a few songs. I think there's one song too many, one or two songs
maybe
too many.
A couple
points.
Too much. Yeah, I would agree.
But let's kind of go through them. I want you guys to tell me. You know, we'll use the teacher grading scale here: A, B, C, D, or F. I'm going to give you the song, and you tell me what grade you give it. So, Todd, A Hat Full of Dreams. That's our first song.
That's a solid B.
Todd says B. Vonda?
I like that. That's an A.
I say A, too, as well. Todd, You've Never Had Chocolate Like This Before, the Hover Choc song.
I think that's about a C.
Vonda?
C.
I say B on that one. Okay. Scrub Scrub?
That's a B. That's a catchy little tune.
Right. Vonda?
C.
Vonda says C. I say B on that one. I like that. I thought that was catchy. Sweet Tooth.
That's the Chief Bribe song,
yes,
right?
Yes. That's the villain, the one villain song.
I'm going to give that one a B, too. I like it. It's catchy.
Right, Vonda?
B.
I say B as well. I like it because it's got that, like, kind of like, I don't know what you'd call it, like that, just that ending of, like, that, you know, kicking our legs, I don't know, big Broadway musical number.
Right.
Like
over the top.
Exactly, at the end. There's a song called For a Moment.
Is that when they're milking the giraffe?
Yes, I think that's when. There's a part in the film where Willy needs to make to make his chocolate. He has to, he doesn't use any kind of milk. He doesn't use cow's milk. He uses giraffe's milk. So him and Noodle actually break into the zoo and milk a giraffe. And I think that is the song, yes.
And we're going, what was it, A to D?
A to F.
A to F. That's probably my D.
Okay. I gave it a C, Vonda. What about
D-D.
You?
D-D.
Double D.
Wow.
Oompa Loompa by Hugh Grant, which we haven't even talked about yet. But Hugh Grant.
That's got to be a B right there. Oompa Loompa song.
Okay. Vonda?
I like Oompa Loompa. That's an A.
She gives it an A. I gave this a D.
Really?
Yes, not because of the song, just because of
Hugh
like
Grant's delivery.
It's Hugh Grant, and we'll get into that. We'll get into that. What about A World of Your Own?
That's my A.
Yes,
that's the one I couldn't get out of my head. After
that's
I
the
got
one
out
we
of the
were
movie.
Kind of singing every now and then while we got out. Yeah, Vonda.
B.
I give it an A as well. It's a very short song, but Sorry Noodle.
That's a good B.
Vonda.
C.
C. Do you remember that one?
No.
Well, it's after. I think he...
When he's kind of decided to leave, and he's like, sorry, Noodle.
Yeah, and he's just like walking through his seat. Yeah, or through the city, I mean. And last but not least, Pure Imagination.
And this film, it's probably a B.
Gotcha.
Now, is that where he was standing in the tunnel singing whenever Noodle was going to her mama?
Mm-hmm.
That is an AA for me.
Hey, I also gave it an A just because, you know.
Pure
I think
imagination.
It's pure imagination, yes. So let's double back and let me talk about why Hugh Grant, obviously, is in the film. He plays Lofty the Oompa Loompa. He's the only Oompa Loompa in the film.
Right.
And it's probably the weakest part of the film to me is him. Like, I don't know. He has some cute moments, but I don't. And there's been a, like there's a few behind the scenes things I've read that he had just
he hated the role, right?
He hated making it just because he had to be in a motion capture suit and had to have the dots on his face and he, and the thing on his head that he called like, basically like wearing a crown of thorns.
Wow.
And he did not have a good time making it. And I think it maybe comes across a little bit, but that's why I say it's not the song. Obviously, it's a classic song, but it's just I don't know. I felt a little underwhelmed by that character.
Right.
I feel like there should have been somebody for him to play off of as another Oompa Loompa. Like have a second one come into the film of some sort, a couple celebrities, you know, but yeah, it was he was the weakest part of the film overall for me. He had a couple cute moments we were talking about before the podcast with his little chair. Do the thing, Todd. Tell like, people.
I'm going to sleep. What's wrong?
Yeah.
All right, what is it?
I think people saw it in the trailer. Like it's, he does have cute moments, and he's like the one that kind of saves the day at the end. But you know, really the crux of the film, obviously the chocolate cartel don't want no part of Wonka coming in. He makes better chocolate than them. They want to do everything they can to sabotage him. They have the police try to shut him down at every turn. He works with the kind of, what did you call him, Todd?
I call him the evil chocolate trinity.
He worked the laundry team. You've had a little clever name for them.
I call them the fellow inmates.
Yes,
inmates.
Get it, folks? In. They live in an inn, and they're the inmates. He works with them to kind of work out a system where they can kind of pre-warn him about the police coming, and he kind of uses the sewer system to kind of escape and get away from them. And eventually he does open his own shop for about 5 minutes.
Five total minutes.
Yeah, he has another version or another. He sings the second time we hear, what is it? You've never had chocolate like this. Another big musical number. And it just like ends with apparently Mrs. Scrubbit and Bleacher had been tipped off by the chocolate cartel that this was going down. So they actually slipped in some additional chemicals into his chocolate that started turning the man that bought the most chocolate. He started growing like some kind of Yeti beard. And he has like a blue hair growing all over his face.
Some little girl's growing a mustache.
Yeah. And her mom's like, this is what you get for like, you know, turning my daughter mustached and like cuts a rope and like shit drops. And they just pretty much destroy the place. Yeah. They destroy his whole chocolate shop as soon as it was built.
It's gone,
basically. And then from there, that's where Willie kind of gets the choice from the chocolate cartel. If you leave now, we'll pay off the debts for everyone, you know, all your little innkeepers, you know, the inmates, I should say, get to go free, and you never make chocolate again, and you're going off to the North Pole, I think is where they're going to send him. And Willie kind of begrudgingly kind of agrees, but then it's a little bit too of a double cross because they also tell Mrs. Scrubbit to keep Noodle there because explain why they don't want, why does Slugsworth not want Noodle getting out?
Actually, Noodle winds up being actually kin to Slugsworth.
Yes.
It's his brother's child.
Yeah, so she's, Noodle is actually Slugsworth's niece, and her little ring that has an N on it is not actually an N, it's a Z for her father's name, which is, I cannot remember for the life of me right now.
It started with a Z.
Vonda, do you remember?
It's Z-Man.
But yeah, it's her father's initial, which is Slugsworth's brother. So at some point, his brother died, and Noodle's mother comes to Slugsworth for help. She's got this, they were unmarried, I think they say.
I think so, yeah.
And she's got this little baby. She says, this is your brother's baby. My child is sick. It needs help. He takes the child, kicks her to the curb. And when she comes back, he tells her the child has died, but he has secretly kind of given the child to Mrs. Scrubbit to basically be in a life of servitude to her and her little, you know, inmate group there, basically from and that's pretty much the kind of the crux of it is from there. Obviously, Willy Wonka doesn't get blown up on the boat. They actually send him out to sea. And not really were they going to send him to the North Pole. They were actually going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets a little dark there. They were actually going to kill the guy. But basically, Wonka makes his way back, and do you want to take it over a little bit from there, Todd?
So basically, they've kind of hatched a plan. Abacus Crunch kind of reveals earlier on that there's two different ledgers that they keep. There's a legitimate ledger, and there's one they keep off the book stuff, like their bribes, their dirty dealings, and they decide if they can get into this church and get that, you know, ledger that has all their dirty dealings, they can expose everything and get the cartel took care of.
Exactly. And that's pretty much they go after it, Willie, and then kind of develop a plan. They kind of use all the abacus and everyone else to kind of like sell the plan and kind of go through. There's a the plan at one point involves using the giraffe.
The giraffe from earlier in the meal.
So in addition, the cartels there, the chocolate cartels, they're like underground headquarters is under like a church.
Right.
Who is like seen over by the late Rowan Atkinson.
Right,
Mr. Bean, R.I.P. And they have like this kind of like secret confession elevator that you go down to get to the secret headquarters. Willie and Noodle end up down there. The chocolate cartel unfortunately discover them and they start to try to drown them in
chocolate.
Yeah, hunt thousands of gallons of chocolate. But they're saved by who, Vonda?
Mr. Oompa Loompa.
Mr. Oompa Loompa, Lofty. Yes. Mr. Hugh Grant. He could be bothered to show up at this point. And he comes flying in, saves the day, gets them out of there because he won't go back to Loompa Land because the setup between him and Willie is that Willie had stolen some
cocoa beans. Four cocoa beans they had.
Yeah, apparently. Unlike the 2005 Burton film where that's what their whole thing was, cocoa beans. Like they had a plethora of them.
Yeah.
This one, the Oompa Loompas had like four and Willie took them. So the reason why Hugh Grant's there, he won't leave Willie alone until he gets enough chocolate back to kind of make it right.
Right.
From Willie. And Todd, kind of take us through the ending and we'll kind of get to our wrap up here.
So basically the plot at the end where the Oompa Loompa saves them, they come out through the storm drain. There's like a chocolate fountain kind of erupting. Willie and Noodle are freed, and the cartel is there. And the chief actually shows up. This way he can't even get out of his police squad car. He's so huge.
Yes.
And they present, you know, the ledger that has all the dirty dealings in it, too. I think it's like his second in command. Mm-hmm. And the chief's kind of waddling over like, let me have that book, you know. And he's like, nah, your name's in this book.
And it's like one thing we should mention, the best joke in the film.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
They had us rolling. And me and Todd were dying at it. So Larry the comedian is set up through the whole film. When he talks about himself or what his special ability is, he not only is he a comedian, but he can speak under, he can make himself sound like he's talking underwater.
And you're like thinking to yourself, this is maybe going to come into play somehow.
Where is this going to come up? If it's mentioned too many times to not come back at some point in the film. And where it comes up is there's a point where they've released the giraffe in the church. It's used as a distraction for Willie and them to kind of sneak in. And I think Rowan Atkinson is calling the zoo to come get the giraffe.
Right, that's
and it. And they've got, is it Lottie? Lottie is her name, the switchboard?
I think Lottie Bell, yeah.
Yeah, she's back at her post working on the switchboard at the phone company. So she routes him to Larry, the comedian, and
the
rest.
He's the one that answers the phone.
The one that answers the phone with the other members of the little inmate group behind him. And he's like, hello, you know, animal, like, you know, rescue services or whatever. And they're all making animal noises like they're actually in the zoo.
Trying to sell the fact that they're at the zoo.
Exactly, you know? The zoo. And Larry's like, you know, quiet down, you animals. Like, run, you too, octopus.
He has like that water gurgling voice going on.
And he's like, yeah, it uses it to like, to fake calm down an octopus
that
underwater.
They can't speak anyway.
They can't speak. They would be making no noise.
After he said that, I didn't see what happened for like 3 or 4 minutes because I was laughing so hard I was crying.
It really caught me off guard. I was dying. Like it just, I kept thinking about it and it just, oh, it got me.
The more we thought about it, the funnier it got.
Yeah, and there's a few little gags. I know, Vonda, you really like the line where it was at Bleacher. He's like, he calls Mrs. Scrub it Puffy Wuffy.
Yeah.
Like, Puffy Wuffy.
He says, I woof you. Yeah.
I woof you, Puffy Wuffy.
Crack me up.
Like, yeah, but there's a few little cute, little funny lines through it that definitely made us chuckle. Like I said, the gags with the police chief, the Larry stuff, you know, the stuff with Mrs. Scrub. But there's definitely some decent little humor here as you kind of go along. Basically, the very end of the film, Noodle, Wonka uses Lottie to kind of go back through there. I think they said there's 106 people with the initials of who Noodle's mother could be.
Right.
They go through and find the one that is Noodle's mother, and Wonka kind of goes and reunites Noodle at the end with her mother. Nice little
rendition of Pure Imagination.
Yeah, does right. does a little a Timothée Chalamet version of Pure Imagination. Noodle is reunited with her mother, so she can gets her happy ending. Willie kind of keeps his promise to her to have a that he you know that she wouldn't be here in this laundry forever.
That
kind of thing.
Tugs at it a little bit. That and tugs.
Yeah, it's a good little scene. Little like that's the thing about this compared to the 2025, the 2005 Burton one, which we said had no heart
just
whatsoever.
So cold and so sterile.
This one has some heart. Mm-hmm. This one has that a little bit of an emotional core. It's definitely more. More of a heartfelt take on the characters and everyone else, and they're treated with you know more respect than I think the 2005 version was for sure. It never kind of hits the heights of the 1971 original, but I think it fits right there alongside of it. I think it's a good
companion piece.
It's a good companion piece. We're not super big on prequels, but this didn't take away anything about the original for me. Like, it didn't make anything lessened. Like, we see little stuff throughout the film. Like, it's not like he's learning how to do it. We just see at one point, this version of Wonka, he already knows how to stand the cane up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like little stuff like that you see, like, that you'll see later in the other film, the original.
Oompa uses that little whistle like Wonka uses later on. That
exactly. He's got a few little lines and stuff that kind of like you'll kind of hear like later him using the 71 version.
And this Wonka, it coincides with Gene Wilder because Gene Wilder was a caring person. He was never cold. He was always
right.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? He's the same as this Wonka.
Yeah, and I mean I think Timothée Chalamet's take on the character, it wasn't so vastly wildly different. Like you feel like this character could potentially turn into the Gene Wilder mm-hmm. from the 71.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not a huge stretch to see that could person. Happen. He's a little bit more wide-eyed. He's not as, I think maybe the Gene Wilder is a little bit more maybe cynical, but then you don't really know if he's cynical or not, if he's really earnest about it.
He's very ambiguous.
This one, he's a little bit more wide-eyed. He's a little bit more hopeful, but he's also younger, and he hasn't went through some of the stuff that Willy Wonka will have gone through by the point that we see him in the 1971 original. But, there's little stuff. There's a line that doesn't he have the line in the first one about he says something, he's like, wait a minute, no, reverse that kind of thing.
Wait a minute, scratch uh-huh. that, reverse it.
Yeah,
he says
just
that same
little,
line. Yeah.
Little callbacks, but it's never like, hey, remember?
Beating you over
hey,
the head member? With it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just enough little references. It's not overly fan service-y. It's not like, oh, my God, of course they got to do this. If he would have done, like, the cane and the roll thing at some point, or he'd been, like, trying to do that the whole film and not pulling it off, I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that would have been too much. Too much.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But it's just enough little, like, hey, remember? Like, yeah, we remember this, mm-hmm. but it's not enough to be over the top or like right. eye rolling.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to talk about before we go on to our final thoughts in reviews, Todd?
So as I was surmising the end, I almost forgot, the cartel gets taken away. We've got the dirty ledger on them. The crowd's kind of celebrating and Willie's kind of up there by himself and he finally brings out his mom's chocolate bar.
Yes, we almost forgot about
and
this.
And so he opens up the bar, and inside on a golden note, which, is that where he gets the golden ticket inspiration from later? I would say so.
Right.
Yes.
There's a little note from his mother, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I believe it said, it's not the chocolate is not the secret. It's the people you share it with. Mm-hmm. Love, Mommy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. And that's his we talked about it after we saw it. I was like, did you guys, like, I was like, the second time that bar was mentioned and his mother being there, I was like, obviously the secret is in this chocolate bar that he won't open.
Yeah.
And he does eventually at the end of the film, he brings himself to open it. He does kind of see his mother a little bit, probably in his own imagination.
True.
Obviously. And then he does, like you said, he sees the note. It is on that.
He starts breaking off pieces of it,
exactly.
Sharing it with his friends.
And shares it with the rest of the inmates.
That'll tug it, boy.
Is it? Again, it's another little good, heartfelt little moment. It's not the Burton one. It's not like dour and depressing and overly weird. It's got a little bit of heart to it.
Yes.
It definitely, it's kind of like a feel good, it's a little musical, a little bit of a comedy, minor drama, but still like.
Too much musical, maybe.
Maybe. I think there's, like I said, there's one. There's one or two songs too many, you know, for, like the For a Moment song, you know, just the Sorry Noodle. Like, you could have done that with a more dramatic take on it with him just going through. But, you know, it wasn't – all the songs are executed well. Like, there's not one that's like
– yeah.
Like this is just terrible, terrible. Or, like, this is sung terribly, you know. Like, maybe if you're not a fan of musicals like Vonda, maybe you don't like, you know, you would have rather seen it be a more straightforward film. But I don't think you would say that the songs are like – it's not the quality of the songs.
No.
It's just the fact that it is – a musical of sorts.
Right. That could be on Broadway.
Right. Exactly. It's not the quality or the people doing the songs or the content of them that you don't as much care for. It's just that it's a song.
Right.
In a movie. And there's songs, I think, in there that are better than others, and then same thing for this.
Exactly, yeah.
Anything else before we move on, Todd?
I'm good.
Bond, do you have anything else you want to add before we move on to our final thoughts and reviews?
Well, no. I mean, other than, what was the older man's name that was downstairs?
Abacus.
He, in case y'all didn't know or anybody else, was the butler on Downton Abbey.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Oh, never seen Downton Abbey. Always heard good things.
It is excellent.
Nice Easter egg.
So, Todd, let's go to you first. Give us your final thoughts and review score for Wonka.
For me, there's always two issues with any kind of prequel. One, is it necessary? Does this have to exist to enjoy or appreciate what came before? That answer here is no. You don't need this film to enjoy the book, the 1971 original, or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory if you're so inclined. Second, how badly is this going to affect my enjoyment looking back or the story and legacy of what came before it? And I'm happy to say here that in my opinion, Wonka does nothing to detract from or modal what came before it. In my opinion, Wonka is a serviceable origin story for everyone's favorite chocolate maker. I thought all the actors and actresses were great in their roles, and it was nice to see the series return to some of the heart and charm that was a staple of the original. I give Wonka 7 boxes of bribery chocolate, which is good.
Okay, all right. Vonda, what about you? Any final thoughts you have and what your review score for Wonka?
Well, I agree with Todd. I mean, you know, you can see so many similarities between this one and Gene Wilder. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I loved it. But, I you don't have to see this to know whatever happened the first time. But, I'd give it probably a 6 overall.
So decent. 6 would rank it as decent for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, I can't really disagree with you, Todd. I like your kind of, you know, your definitions of a prequel. This doesn't – it's not required viewing to enjoy the 1971, but does it ruin anything or detract from anything like that? No, with what I always refer to as the Darth Vader problem. The prequels and the things that we see in there, it does detract from my experience.
Right.
Little Anakin and those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Detract from my experience with Darth Vader after that. This does none of that. It's a good companion piece to the original. It's got more heart and energy and laughs than the Tim Burton reimagining, if you will. Not sure how much or anything this borrows from, like, the, you know, any of the Roald Dahl stories or any of that. For me, I think it's a good solid movie. I think, again, if you go see it, if you've got smaller children, I think they'll enjoy it as well. It's a good kind of family film to go out and see over, you know, a weekend or holiday weekend here coming up if you got some extra time. For me, I give Wonka a 7 out of 10, which ranks it as good as well. So, Todd, can you tell everyone how they can find us and stay up to date with us on social media?
We are at Towel Capes on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, Towel Capes Podcast on Facebook. You can also email us at towelcapespod@gmail.com.
Also, if you're so obliged, leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice really helps the show. Be on the lookout for this week's Popcorn Mumbles, where we'll be talking about the 2015 film Krampus. Towel Capes will return next week. We want to thank you so much for listening. Until next time, bye, guys.
See you, guys.
Bye.